On this episode of the podcast, I chat with Linda Totterman, a midwife working at Lohja Hospital. Linda used to work at Naisten Klinika before Lohja, and we got to chatting about some of the differences between these two hospitals. We touched upon the capacity, the amount of midwives there, the general approach and atmosphere, and much more. Linda shared her passion for physiological birth and talked as well about the challenges that a midwife might experience due to the lack of continuity of care in the Finnish maternal care system, which is essentially supporting a woman whom she's meeting for the first time. In relation to this, Linda also mentioned how important and helpful it is for her to do her job when women have a birth plan to show when they come to give birth, and especially when that birth plan is visual. We talked about childbirth preparation and the importance that this has on the birthing experience, as well as the role of the doula versus the midwife at the birth itself. I hope you enjoy this really insightful episode with Linda, and that maybe Lohja Maternity Ward could be for you. Thank you for listening to this episode. Let's get started. Welcome to the Birthing in Finland podcast, brought to you by the Nest Doulas. I'm Danielle Bensky, a mother and postpartum doula specializing in maternal well-being and psychology. Each episode, you'll hear eye-opening interviews with some amazing people who support families in Finland just like yours. We'll help you navigate what it means to birth in Finland, growing your confidence on your parenting journey. Thank you for spending time with me today. Now let's jump into our daily dose of birthing in Finland. Just before this episode starts, I want to offer something really exciting. If you're listening to this and you're pregnant, then this one is especially for you. Maybe you've been busy thinking about your birth plan, and what about a postpartum plan? Well, I have just the thing for you. Prepped for Postpartum ebook, a guide for expecting parents on how to thrive in the postpartum. A comprehensive and practical 5-chapter guide covering the most important and helpful things I give my one-on-one clients. In every chapter, you will have the opportunity to take my knowledge and apply it specifically to you and your family using interactive questions and invitations for action. With easy-to-use checklists, I have made sure you will not miss any important action point needed to put theory into action and turn your postpartum into a positive and empowering experience. You can now visit motherstransition.com to get your very own copy and use the code PODCAST15 at checkout to receive a 15% discount. And now, let's get back to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Birthing in Finland podcast. Today I am really happy to welcome Linda to the show. Linda is a midwife who has worked at Naisten Klinika and now is working at Lohja. And I'm just going to say hi and let you introduce yourself first before we jump in.
Hi, I'm Linda. As Daniela said, I'm a midwife. I have mostly worked at Naisten Klinika, but also in Sweden, and now then at Lohja.
Yeah. How long have you been at Lohja now?
Well, actually, I started like in the beginning of last summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. And have been working a between here a bit, well, in at Mehiläinen also, but now going back to Lohja.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Wait, Mehiläinen, that would mean... That would mean not doing labor,
yeah,
but doing checkups and
prenatal. Yeah, so there I have been just a normal nurse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today we're going to be chatting a little bit more about births.
Yeah.
And the experience of birthing in Lohja, perhaps, versus the experience of Naisten Klinika from your perspective of the behind the scenes, maybe. As
sure.
A midwife who is within the system. So you said that you recently moved there. Can you tell us a little bit about the difference between the hospitals? I think people are usually
curious to understand, because sometimes there's a choice to make. You know, where should I go to have the baby? Of course, it depends on the capacity and if it's available, but it's good to maybe understand what is the difference between the hospitals, and from your experience, yeah, what do you see as the difference between those two, and some things you want to mention?
Yeah, sure. And here we have a huge difference, because we are talking about one of the biggest birthing hospitals in northern countries is Naisten Klinika. And then Lohja is probably one of the smallest in Finland. So there's also in capacity, there is also a huge difference, because at Naisten Klinika, there is 16 labor rooms, and in Lohja, we have 3. So yeah, there's also it's a massive difference between the other one feels like a big... Now it doesn't come out. Because it's more like a system.
Factory.
Factory, that's the word. But Lohja is more home-like, if you can say about that, of a hospital, but it's more home-like. So yeah. From there, it basically comes already that the point of view for birth is quite different. Because... Mm-hmm. There are so many midwives in every shift, but Lohja, it's just 2 or 3 at the labor ward. And probably, as also for me, because I'm more for physiological births and natural pain relief, so maybe midwives who are more into that find themselves at Lohja.
Mm.
Because it feels like there is more possibilities and more acceptance than Naisten Klinika, which is like a big system, and there are more rules and more medicalization, I would say, because we have the rules. Yeah.
So that's interesting. Yeah. They are both under the same umbrella of HUS.
Yeah.
But the protocols or the rules are a little bit different. Do you have an example maybe of what difference you could find?
Maybe a biggest difference I have found are inductions, because at Naisten Klinika it feels like there is no, we are doing it like the certain way, and there is no way to do it differently. But in Lohja, it's every time think about the point of view of the birth giver. It's never said that we have to do like this. If everything is fine, and so we can always think about what the mother wants and all different of what she has the opinions. It's not just the directions aren't coming from upwards at Lohja more. It's more from the mother.
At Naisten Klinika. Yeah,
but Naisten Klinika is vice versa. There we do like this, and you don't even talk with the mother. So
right.
I find it a bit disturbing.
Right, it's more rigid and more full. It sounds interesting, like the chicken and the egg. On one hand, you're saying it's a small place, so we can facilitate that. And also at the same time, you're saying that midwives who are more drawn to physiologic birth are going to Lohja. So it's like this interesting cycle that feeds into itself that has made Lohja to be the kind of hospital where perhaps you see more physiologic labor and birth. Yeah,
and also the doctors. I think also the doctors who are more understandable for physiological birth and trust birth, so they find themselves at Lohja.
Yeah.
So maybe it's also that the doctors and midwives are more like-minded, so it's also easier. Because then I have also found a bit difficult situations at Naisten Klinika when I think different way than the doctor, and the doctor is uncertain, but I have to, in the end, do the thing the doctor says. So
this is the hierarchy of working in that system.
Yeah. So maybe at Lohja we are more colleagues, I would say.
Yeah. I think it's really important to understand the differences, and also to just appreciate that there are two different hospitals that serve two different kinds of situations, perhaps. And that if you are a person who is interested in a more physiologic birth, it matters where you give birth, because you can't walk into a system who does one thing every day and then go in and say, I want something else, and think that they'll just do it differently because for you.
Exactly. Like, yeah, yeah. Of course, they kind of have to, but I would say it's so much easier when you go to a place where already most of the people understand your point of view. Yes. Then you go to the place where you have to fight about everything.
Exactly.
So, and you don't want to do that when you're giving birth.
You
don't want to fight.
No, it does not support the physiology of birth.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, it's wonderful that places like Naisten Klinika exist. And I suppose that the need for having that is there because there are some high-risk pregnancies. And Naisten Klinika is the better hospital for those women and people who have, for example, anything, you know, complicated with their pregnancy, or they are in some sort of higher risk, then it's good to know that that's maybe the place for you if you're in that situation, but also that there is an alternative for another situation.
Yeah, yeah, this is also like an important point because of course there are medical emergencies and high risk pregnancies, and that's definitely the place to be for that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's not totally bad, but
I love this quote. I don't know who said it now, but this quote that birth is a natural event that sometimes needs medical intervention, not a medical event that sometimes happens naturally.
So, yeah.
But often we see it the other way around, that so many women are getting medical intervention when it isn't actually needed.
Yeah, and that's what causes also the emergencies.
Like, can you say more about that? Because I don't think that people are so aware about this. What do you mean when you say that?
Because it's already been like studied that when we like say mess with natural birth, that more interventions lead to other interventions. That's already studied. So yes, sometimes, of course, I don't have like total proof, but I have seen it many times that when we go and do things, so we also make kind of not always emergencies, but yeah, sometimes it leads to a point that we have to do again something because we already went to do something.
Yes.
For example,
cascade
like,
of intervention.
Yeah. So if we go and break the waters, so I have seen so many times problems about that when it's not necessary. And we also have already studies that when we do break the waters without any reason, so it doesn't actually make the birth quicker. So there are so many things that have already shown us that we have studies and everything, and even though we have them, we don't do as they say. So we have so many things in the hospitals that are just like, we have been doing this always and we still do it, even though there is no shown evidence that it's actually good for the birth.
This so. Is a really important point that I want to just stop and stress, that it's somehow hard to explain to people why this is happening, but it's happening. So we have evidence, and yet the protocols that hospitals are sometimes using are not based around that evidence. And I think that's really important for people to know, to walk in understanding that things that are sometimes done are not the ideal. And this is why education is really important, to self-educate yourself and to understand which hospital it is that you maybe want to go to, and maybe also doula, which we'll talk about later. But just this fact and hearing it from you, who has been in the system and has seen it happening, I think is so valuable. Do you want to add anything about that? Yeah. I mean, is it frustrating also from your perspective to know this research and to still have to follow the outdated protocols?
Tell me about it. Like, there have been so many difficult like situations when you know, like, oh, this is not a good thing to do. But yeah, as I said, when it comes from a doctor, and then you just have to do it. So it's so frustrating. Or yeah. Of course, sometimes it comes also from the mother. Like, they, for example, inductions are a very good example because there are people who want, absolutely they want induction, like because of fear of birth and everything. But I have also seen it so many times when we like do an induction because the mother have fear of birth, and then everything just starts to go bad because it's not meant to be in do the induction without any medical reason. So again, interventions lead to interventions. So when they would have the, all the information, they could do other decisions also. Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm also there for the mother. I can't tell like to her like, okay, but we really shouldn't do that. Like, okay, I can do it. I tell the information and she can do the decisions based on that. But it doesn't always, sometimes I just would like to say like, oh, please, can we do it just the other way? Mm-hmm. Because it's better for you.
It's a little bit of a pickle because on one hand, we're advocating for women's choice.
Yes.
And so that means we have to really respect any choice that they make. Even though I suppose that's a good topic as well, like the fine line between respecting the choices of the mother and doing the things that are actually necessary. So for example, let's say a cesarean, like an elective cesarean, you know, it's a major surgery. On one hand, we say, you know, the mother can choose if she wants to birth in water, and why shouldn't she birth in water, for example, or why shouldn't she be on all fours or choose the position that she wants to be in to give birth, but then she cannot choose to have a cesarean.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It's an interesting conversation. Like, how far do you go with that choice, like that it's the mother's choice?
Yeah, but it's also this about the education also. The more you know, then you have like, yeah, it's better to do the decisions. Yeah. But like that's, I've seen it so many times that you don't. And there are many mothers who say already, like when they come that, oh, I didn't do any research. I don't want to know. Okay. Hmm. But then I still want to make the decisions. Okay. Like, yeah. Education. That's the key.
Yeah. It's hard to make a decision when you don't have the information to make a decision.
Yeah.
Like, for example, with our doulas talk a lot about the BRAIN acronym, which is the benefits, the risks, your intuition, what are the alternatives, and what if we do nothing. So this really helps to understand the benefits and the risks, which is the first two letters of the acronym, is part of gaining that information. And we'll talk later about a birth plan, and making a birth plan is also a very, very important tool in gaining that information and educating yourself into what you want, what you don't want. Yeah. And all of that happens before the birth. Because yes, as you said, we don't want to be fighting. We don't want to be thinking. We don't want to be doing any of that in labor, because that actually doesn't support labor to be in your thinking brain.
No.
I want to go back to this topic of that, you know, the cascade happens. Because this is maybe a touchy subject and sensitive one, but I'm still going to say it because I like to talk about sensitive subjects. Sometimes we hear this kind of sentence saying, I'm so glad I was in the hospital because this saved me. Or I would have otherwise, if I would have had a home birth, for example,
yeah,
I would have something horrible would have happened.
But I have also heard it many times.
Yes, but then if you listen to the birth story of that person, there almost usually or almost always is a intervention that started that cascade.
Exactly.
So it was the fact that they were in hospital which actually made the problem in the first place.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
do you want to add anything to this point?
Oh, you just told it so well. Like, I've heard also so many times when I, of course, it's just basic. When you're a midwife, if people heard you're a midwife, oh, they start to tell their birth stories. And they're like, okay. Yeah, and it was so horrible. And it took like 48 hours and this happened. And we would have died without the hospital. And then you listen to the story exactly as you said. And then you start to listen like, okay. Okay, it started there. And then we did this and this. And then we ended up in an emergency C-section. I'm like, okay. I saw it coming. Like, yeah. You have this feeling, and you just, yeah. I don't want to like underestimate anyone's like experiences of their birth, yes. But like, these are experiences women tell to each other. And I would just like to say that it doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
Like, in Finland, we have this culture of who has the worst birthing experience. It's like crazy. No one ever talks about what is good. But yeah, I've heard so many times, and I don't want to tell them that, like, okay, it could have gone differently because it's their experience. But yeah.
And now you cannot feel the change same. It anymore. So
yeah. So why to do that? Why to like make the person feel pain about it anymore?
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel and exactly that. It's so frustrating.
As a pregnant person, this is like a really important piece of the education. Like, just to understand that stepping into a hospital is a form of intervention.
Yes, already, yes, exactly. You come in from the doors. It's like so basic. You come, oh, but I have had so strong contractions. They were coming every 3 minutes and now they stopped. And you just want to say, that's because you came to a hospital.
Yeah.
And your body shuts down. It thinks it's not safe. So it doesn't want to continue yet. So.
And at the same time, I am so aware and understanding, and I have so much, you know, compassion for the situation in Finland right now, because women don't have really a choice.
No.
So we're not really putting any fingers to blame, you know, about any individual person, but it's really a conversation more wider than that about the system. Because if you look in Finland right now, women can choose between giving birth at a hospital. Okay, they have a few choices if they live in Helsinki metropolitan area, but one of them is Lohja, which I'm very glad about. But the other choice is a home birth with a private midwife, which is a lot of money for a lot of people. So it's a choice, but maybe not a real choice. But there's nothing in the middle. Or then you can do a free birth.
Yeah.
Which is to birth without a midwife, which I wouldn't do, but, you know, some people do. And in between those three options, there's nothing else. So we don't have birth centers. We used to have small hospitals. In my podcast episode with Anu Lampinen, she used to work at, was it Katilopisto? What was the name of that one?
Katilopisto.
Yeah, the smaller hospital in Helsinki. And there used to be the Tammisaari Hospital, which was very much known as being like a very home-like feeling as well. And these all have closed. And this is frustrating.
Yeah, and it was also based like on the, we have the 1,000 birth, what is it called? That the hospital has to have 1,000 births to keep open. Yeah, the minimum.
Oh, that's like, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, it's kind of like a few years ago.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that it's worth, financially worthy.
Yeah, and also they think it's safe. It has to there are like that all the midwives and doctors that they get enough like experience. Okay. So it has to have 1,000 births that it's also like valuable to keep the ER and things like this.
1,000 births per what?
Year.
Of a year.
Yeah. So that's basically also why Tammisaari was closed, and then the Salo labor ward, there was a small one also that was closed. And then in the north, was there some?
Yeah.
So, like, this also comes from the up. Like, they make the decisions and they think, like, oh, 1,000 births is some kind of magic. And there it stops. If it's under, it's not safe anymore. Like, and these
and that's
are people.
Not evidence-based either.
It's not evidence-based. These people who make the decisions, so they have nothing to do with birth. They are not midwives, or probably, doctors. There might be doctors, but not like specialized in birth and gynecology, but like,
And just to give us a perspective, Just to give us perspective, how many yearly births occur in Lohja, do you know?
There are now, like, the latest few years, there has been over 1,000. Few years now, have it has come upwards all the time. Could have been like 1,100, some a bit okay, more, so a bit
just
less.
A little bit above.
Yeah.
And there was in Clinica compared to that?
Oh my gosh, how many is there? 8,000, 9,000?
Okay, so yeah.
But also almost 10 times more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and this idea, the centralization of births into bigger hospitals, I mean, just as you said in the beginning when I asked you what do you feel the difference is between the two hospitals,
yeah,
this is the difference. And this is this is the reason why centralization of birthing is not the way forward for women, for positive birth outcomes, for women feeling a positive birth experience, which is also so important.
Yeah, and also, not to say, as I had said, told you also before, like, I work the same way, even though I was in Naisten Klinika or am I in Lohja. Like, there have been very nice birth experiences. Naisten Klinika we have had, and beautiful water births, but the pressure from outside isn't that, like, much.
Yeah.
And the doctors are more understandable, and that's also a bit the system, the bigger hospital problems, because there are two doctors, 16 labor rooms, and they try to, like, keep eye on everyone, but they can't. So they also, maybe this is a wrong word, they panic easier if they see something on the CTG or something, because they don't know everyone who is in the rooms. There are 16. If there everyone is full, no, they can't see, like, the whole picture. They just see this small one and then make, like, decisions based on that. On Lohja, I like it. When I work, I know exactly what's happening in every room. And I know everyone who is in, who is being in induction or stuff like that. But in Nice Technica, I have no idea what others are doing.
Yeah.
Because it's big. I know what I'm doing, probably what's happening in the room next to me. But the 15 others, 14 others, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So in Naisten Klinika, would it be so that you would work on a few birthing rooms, and, you know, each midwife gets a few birthing rooms, versus in Lohja, where, because there's so few, you can actually move through all of them? Or kind of how many women are you supporting in your shift? If I can, maybe that question.
Optimal would be one. Like, and that's...
Well, yes.
Yeah. And usually... Yeah, most of the time it is one, I would say.
In Lohja.
Yeah, also Naisten Klinika. They come a little bit, like, we try to avoid that you have a, like, two in labor at the same point, because you can't be pushing in two rooms at the same time. But it might be that I have someone who just gave birth and then another comes in who is in the early phase. It's more like that, probably. Birth givers, like, in different phases. In Lohja, it's more because we have all the, in the same word, like, inductions. And then we have, like, if someone comes with early weeks or something and we listen to CTG, they are in the same. And then you have, like, labor rooms in the same. So it's very different to have someone who is in induction and someone who is giving birth. Because the one in induction usually don't need so much my attention if it's really early or something. And... yeah, but yeah, usually we try to avoid to have two women giving birth at the same time. But sometimes in Lohja, it's more, there come more in people kind of, like, pushing.
Yeah.
Especially because the distances are longer and there are more, like, multiparas. So yeah, if the third, fourth, fifth baby, so they come in a hurry and sometimes you just have to jump in from some other place.
Yeah.
But then it's quick and nice, and we work more as a team, we midwives.
Yeah.
So we weren't at night, we're usually at two, if we're two at labor ward. So, of course, we're a team all the time. We know all the time what's happening.
Yeah.
And then we just try to balance. Sometimes you have three at Lohja, because if it's a really busy night, so then we just have to run and make. But maybe it doesn't show to the women as much as any nice technique, because it's so small. So it's easier. Okay, I go to this room, then other one calls. I'm quickly there. But nice thing, like sometimes you have to go through the whole ward, like 1 kilometer to that way and then back. So yeah, it's more like because it's so homelike.
Yeah.
I can keep it together. It's different.
And what kind of impact do you see that having on the mothers and the births and also the first days after, like in the postpartum recovery?
Yeah, compared naistenklinikka and Lohja.
Yeah.
Oh, there's also a difference because at Lohja we're basically the same ward still, maternity ward. We're all the same and same midwives work at labor and maternity ward. So maybe the midwife who took care of was with you in your birth, so also takes care of you the next day. So that's like continuing what we don't have in other big hospitals. That's totally different. Then you call at naistenklinikka, you call someone to pick you up from the labor ward, and that's the last time you see the family. Like, okay, since they have probably given birth 2 hours ago, and like, okay, thank you, bye. Like, you never see them again. And they go to a different ward, which are massive at naistenklinikka. Yeah, probably people have heard that it's really busy. They don't get help. There's not enough personnel. The help with breastfeeding, it's like they don't have time to give help.
Have you ever been on the postpartum recovery, like in that ward?
No, I haven't been at naistenklinikka. I have been to Jorvi, the old Jorvi, before it was Espoo.
Like, I mean, as a midwife, were you ever working in that department also? Or have you in your career just been doing the birth? And
No, I have also been on the...
On the postpartum ward.
Postpartum ward, yeah. So, yeah, the old Jorvi. I was, and then I have worked in Sweden.
Okay.
Yeah, but Lohja is a baby-friendly hospital, so
which means
that they have we have a certificate that you have to apply for, and it's like a certain amount of babies have to be breastfed and certain ways, so they really like put our interest to the breastfeeding from the beginning, and it's really important, and I think you get like so much better support with it. Midwives have more time. Of course, there are also busy days, but compared to naistenklinikka, so it's huge difference. Yeah. So if you feel you need the more support with breastfeeding and stuff like that, so definitely Lohja, because the situation now at postpartum wards at naistenklinikka is quite busy and chaotic.
So this continuity of care which you're talking about is very special. Because the continuity of care from prenatal care to the birth to the postpartum is the gold standard of midwifery. Like, this is midwifery at its core.
And hopefully we can get it sometime to Finland, because I know there are some midwives who are now like doing research and stuff like that, that we are like the only country like in Europe who is doing it like this.
So
it's crazy.
That you see one Neuvola nurse in your pregnancy, you see a midwife at your birth, and you see a third one at your postpartum days, and then maybe you're back to the same Neuvola nurse then after. But
and this also depends a lot. Like, if you live in Helsinki, it might be on your every visit to Neuvola, you have a different nurse. So that's crazy also. How can you ever get, like, support? No one really knows you.
No one knows you.
Yeah.
And maybe this is a good chance to maybe talk about that. We wanted to talk about it later, but maybe this is a good time now. To mention this idea that, you know, from the mother's perspective, we have that feeling that we don't know the midwife, but from your perspective as a midwife, you also don't know the mother. So how is that? What impact does that have on you?
And your mother? It's always an adventure to go and meet a new family when they come in to the ward. So how does the chemistry work? And of course, every time I want to like be there for the mother and like listen to their wishes and try to do everything that it goes like she wants. But sometimes it's very difficult, especially if you come in like in your full contractions and you don't really want to talk. And then it would be so much the birth plans. So just birth plan is so important when you don't want to talk anymore. So just give me the paper. I can read what you want. because in that phase, I need to know, do you want to have pain relief? Do you want me to talk about epidural or not? Like, for me, when I have given birth, so it's a huge deal breaker. I don't want to hear about the epidural and stuff like that. I just want support. So it's so important that I know what to do. Like, yeah, I know the medical stuff and like that, but everyone is a person. Every mother coming in is a person. Everyone wants different things. So, yeah, I just want to be there for them. So
Help them make it as they had hoped for.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know the birth plan paper that Neuvola gives?
Do they give one?
Okay, good. They give a paper which is very, very vague.
Okay.
This is not what you are referring to, right? So maybe tell us more, like, what kind of birth plan, when you say birth plan, what do you mean? Because a lot of people take that, what Neuvola gives, and use just that when I feel like it's not enough.
Well, that's basically a good start. Anyway, if you don't want to do research more yourself, so start with that. That's a good one if you get one. But I think if you just Google birth plan, so you get good ones. And then I have seen this wonderful with pictures.
Yes.
It's so good.
Visual birth plan.
Visual birth plan. So that's quick, easy. You see, right, even if you're in a hurry, so you can see right away. Oh, like this. Okay, here we go. So then I know.
Yes, yes, yes.
So just so important to like think what you want and also think beforehand. Because the pain can be very overwhelming. And because it really wants, especially in physiological births, if you really think you want without any medical pain relief. So it's also, I don't want to say this like the wrong way, but it's more work for me. Then I know I'll be more present.
Yes, that requires more support of you.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Because if we go to epidurals and stuff like that, so you'll be 2 hours painless, just, oh, heaven. But if you want to do it without it, so you'd need more like midwife's help and maybe the partner, maybe a doula. So I would say in physiological births, the midwife is more attentive to the birth. Like we're there, we're more supportive, helping.
And can you be in the way that the hospital system is set up? Like, do you feel like maybe this is also part of the conversation of a doula and the you know, what does the team of the midwife doula, what can that bring? But as your role, I suppose, maybe let's talk about in Lohja, do you feel like with the way that Lohja is set up, you can have the capacity to support a physiologic birth with a woman who needs your presence?
I would say yes. I would say I have had the possibility also in Nice Technica because I just do it. I don't ask because, but then also we have the colleagues, other midwives take care. If I have two, but I have to be more in the other one, so then my colleague will go in if they call because I wouldn't leave anyone like alone to cope with it. Of course, it's different. Everyone wants different things. You don't want to. I have also been like births. They don't want a midwife to be there all the time. Yeah. And that's also fine. I think I sense it quite good. Sometimes like, okay, I'm not needed here right now.
Yeah.
So I'll just go out and then talk with the partner or doula. Like, you can call me in when you want. But then I also sense when it's more required. So then I stay.
Yeah.
And if I'm there and I'm like doing it, so no, I don't usually concentrate to other things at the same time.
Yeah.
But then I have colleagues who can check up the CTGs and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's a good way to think about it. And as you said, just to go back, like the ideal is one-on-one. Like the ideal ratio is one midwife for one woman. And this is, again, the continuity. Like not just between prenatal birth and postpartum, but also the continuity of your presence within the labor itself and how much easier it becomes to see what is going on with the labor when you've seen it continuously from the beginning.
Yeah.
You can hear the differences in the sounds. You can hear the way she's moving. You can notice things that you would miss if you left all the time.
Yeah, and you also just have to have like the trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had talked about it before, also like a trust birth. Like, sadly, not every midwife does it. But yeah, we need to trust more. It's just natural. And when we support it and we believe in the women, so usually it goes just fine. No mm-hmm. problems.
Mm-hmm. This is like the self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes.
When you believe in somebody, they start to believe in themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But to go back to the birth plan also, how we said that it's a tool to help us educate ourselves. Can you say a little bit more on that as well?
Yeah, just about like how important it is just to do some research before birth. Yeah, because even though we midwives are there, but when you see for the first time, it's too short of time to the midwife to educate the mother, like, okay, now is this situation and now it feels like this because of that. It's important that you know it beforehand because it's really overwhelming. And in that situation, you can't just learn it anymore or you can't take it anymore. Even though I would tell you when you come in, okay, this is perfectly normal that you're having the pain and you can do it. You just breathe, but then you just panic and think that, oh, the pain is too much or a thing like this. I always think knowledge is power. The more you know, then it's easier to understand why everything is happening or why it feels like this. So I would say like totally from the beginning when you already know you're pregnant. So start to do your research so you can like take it in and feel it a bit and everything. Like when you start to have a bigger belly, always you talk about this, like try the positions, try the breathing exercises, everything. What feels good for you? Because there will anyway be situations like, for example, my own birth. So I thought, oh, I would like this, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. So that's also totally okay. But that you have your, like, there are different things you can do. And it's just too late at that point when you're 5 centimeters open, dilated. So you don't want to think about that anymore.
No.
So it's so important to do your homework. Because, the 5 minutes won't be enough for it when you come in. So
Do you know of any courses that are given in Finland? From my understanding, there is not much birth preparation given from the...
No, like you mean like free ones? System. From the system. Oh, yeah, it's Neuvola.
Yeah, like at Neuvola, for example.
Yeah, and that varies a lot, what I have heard. Some Neuvolas actually have really good ones, and they call in like midwives from labor wards and stuff like that. So I've also already heard some really good ones. But then there are also these ones. Okay, here we have an epidural. Okay, here we go. Like, it's nothing else. Because they're not... Yeah. Of course, there works also midwives in Neuvola, but they might be ones who have never worked at labor ward or haven't been there for 20 years, for example. So it's different. But unfortunately, we are in different... everyone doesn't get the same. So then it's also turning to private sector, which you have to pay again for the private ones. There's private midwives. But like, it varies a lot.
I'm listening to all the 50 episodes of this podcast. That's also
but
very
you also
good
have to a bit like yeah but you also have to kind of believe in it and believe it yourself, because I have had myself like acupuncture and zone therapy, and then I have friends who are like, oh, what is that, and like that doesn't help. That like you have to you have to believe it in yourself and also do your research so you understand things.
And also, if I just take this to another level, this is what motherhood is all about.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be doing this multiple times again over the course of your parenthood and motherhood to make decisions for yourself and your baby, to understand why, to have confidence in yourself. And everyone will tell you, even more as a parent, like you will hear philosophies and ideas and approaches and advice from so many people, whether you want it or not.
Yeah, and like also in birth, like in motherhood, trust your instincts. Like you have your instincts. If you, something feels wrong, so trust it. I have seen it in pregnancies, in births, with when you have the small baby. So usually the instinct is right. So just follow it.
Yeah. And I mean, a woman who has that birth experience where she did follow her instincts and it was so powerful, you see that influencing then the motherhood journey, I think. I see a connection.
Sure, sure. Of course.
Between women who leave birth feeling powerful and those who leave birth feeling broken.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's not just one other day of your life.
No, no. It will change everything.
Yeah, and that's why our mission is to have as many positive birth experiences as we can support. Because it can change the world. It really can.
Yeah, and I also want to say that you can have it in a hospital also.
Yes.
Like... Sure, and that's probably my mission at this point. I want to make it also possible to everyone to feel like they can get the birth they wanted also in the hospital. Yes. It's not said that you come in and you have to do like this and this and this. You don't.
Yeah.
Like, it's just about meeting the right midwife at the right time, at the right place. But of course, you can't decide that beforehand, but... Yeah, you can still have everything you want in the hospital, and it's totally fine.
That's a really beautiful mission because of what we said earlier, that women in Finland don't really have much of a choice. So given that context, I think your mission is really important.
Sometimes it's hard, but we can do it.
Can you tell a little bit more on the point of the difference between a midwife and a doula? I think a lot of people have questions about this, and we've talked about this on the show from the perspective of the doula, but I'm also curious to hear it from your perspective. How do you see the difference, and perhaps how does it support your work when there is a doula present, etc.?
Doulas are like angels. maybe the biggest difference is like a midwife has the medical responsibility in a hospital, and for me, I feel like then I can more concentrate on the midwifery. Of course, I do also the supporting part. If there is no one to support, like I will, but when there is a doula, so it's so different. Like, it's a good team, but she or he takes care of like the support part, and maybe in the system we have, so it's so important because the doula will probably know the mother better than I do. So then we can also I can connect with the doula and she can tell me what the mother wants. The mother can concentrate on giving birth, and yeah, it's super. Like, I think it's there mostly. But of course, it's not, I don't think okay, when we have the doula, so I only do the medical stuff, because I hope we don't have to do medical stuff. But like, then I can more concentrate on the mother's, like you said, on the signs, the sound she's making, the contractions, like things like that. So it's so much easier for me. But also I think, okay, now I have had like Chloe, we have been now in several births, so it's so nice to see her. And we can easily work as a team because I know her already.
We know each other from previous births.
Yeah, so then you're just like, oh yes, this is the best team ever and we can do it. But usually, even though I meet a doula for the first time, so I feel like, yes, we have we will do this team thing and support. And maybe also in the situations where if it's busy, and I can't be in the room all the time. So then I feel like the doula is giving all the information I need when I'm not there, so she can tell me. Yeah, I think they're so useful is not the kindest word, but anyway, because it's sometimes I feel like in the hospital settings, most midwives think that doulas are some kind of attorneys. Like they don't understand that it's meant to do like the work together, not against each other. So I find like I always recommend a doula. I had a doula in my both births, even though I'm myself a midwife. So I just feel they're so important to be there, especially in the system where I don't know the mother beforehand. Yeah. So it's so good.
Yeah, definitely. Something I hear a lot from parents is, well, I don't necessarily want a doula because I don't want somebody I don't know there. I don't want a stranger.
Yeah.
And then I say, you know, well, but the midwife is also a stranger. But then they say, oh, but the midwife has to be there. Because, you know, she's there because I'm birthing in a hospital and she will be there anyway. But yeah. Interesting perspective on that as well. But as you said, it's somebody that you'd get to know, and it's a team, and
because I myself, for my unmedicated birth, so I think my best pain relief was the team, the birthing team.
It's like, you see that in research on doulas help reduce level of perceived pain.
Yes,
a doula is a pain coping method.
And they also, when a doula is present, there are not so many interventions.
Yep, that's also true. There's research to show that on evidence-based birth. Yeah. Good. Thank you for this perspective. Yeah. I think I'm just looking through what we plan to have talked about, and we kind of went through everything. Is there something else that you want to add at this point that you feel like is important to say? Tell us, when are your shifts? No.
Well, I'm still a few weeks at Mehiläinen. So I start at Lohja a week before Midsummer. So welcome to Lohja.
How many midwives at a time? What's my probability of having you as my midwife?
Sadly, I only work part-time. No. But like, I still think like everyone should just have their, and you don't have to think like, we also talk about changing midwives. If you feel like someone isn't like for you, you can always change. This is your birth. You don't have to think what the midwives think about you. And you can just say everything you want or your wishes and how do you want to do things, because as I said, it's your birth. And
actually, now that we've spoken about your perspective, wouldn't it make it even better for the midwife to have someone say, hey, I'm not feeling this connection, can I please have someone else? Because absolutely. If she wasn't feeling the connection, most likely you were not either.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you can't abandon her unless she asks for that. In a way, she's doing also you a favor by asking to switch. I never thought of it from that perspective, but it's actually really,
because we also afraid. Have to do our job.
Yeah, women are sometimes feeling so uncomfortable to say, hey, this isn't working for me, because they don't want to upset you as a midwife. You don't want to upset the midwife. So I think this is a really good point.
Yeah, like, and this is also like the thing that like the midwife would be like looking from upwards, that you have to do what the midwife says. You don't. You don't have to. Like, you're like in charge of your own birth.
Yeah.
This is like important. This actually, that you're in charge of your own birth. The midwife can't be in charge of your birth. Like, we want to do what's best for you, and we give the information and you can do the decisions, but in the end you have to decide yourself.
Which is again why the education piece is very important.
Yes. Of course, there are the emergency situations, and But this is also important. Like, even though it would be an emergency, you always have the time to say, for example, okay, I cut very few episiotomies, so I really never do that. But when I have to do it, I always say, I don't say, I have to make room. Like, this is so basic when we don't talk about things like they are. I always say, okay, now I have to cut you an episiotomy. And usually I don't say episiotomy. I say in Finnish, like, what it's called, what I cut, the perineum. Yeah. So I talk about the things how they are. And you can also say no. You can say no, don't do it. Yeah. Like, it's okay.
But for that, you have to understand the benefits and the risks.
Yeah, yeah. Also, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you tell me that you don't do it, so then you have to know what can happen if I don't do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And and this is also what I like to like say. So in Lohja, I think, yeah, there are fewer episiotomies, there are fewer vacuums, like suction cups. And even though when the doctors do it, so they are so done so nicely, I have to say. Compared to Naisteklinikka. And it's not the thing like in Naisteklinikka, they say you have to cut an episiotomy to make the suction cup. Always. They want you to cut it. I'm like, why?
But have you seen a suction cup done without an episiotomy?
Yes. Many times. At Lohja.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And they do it like beautifully.
This
I have
also
seen it.
Very new to me.
Yeah,
I have
like
also heard that they come together.
First time moms, beautifully done suction cups without an episiotomy and barely like tears. So they do also these things like very nicely. And even though everything sounds so horrible, so I would say like a suction cup. So it can be also done so nicely and to help the mother.
I hope with this episode we don't get too many people coming to Lohja.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yes, you want to pay.
So, because it's also like important for Lohja to get enough labors. Yeah, because otherwise it won't keep its doors open.
Yeah, so, as you were mentioning, the 1,000 births.
Yeah. we want everyone to come.
As doulas of the nest, we have been really teaching and educating our clients on the differences between the hospitals and giving them the ability to understand it and choose again, because the education piece is so important to make your educated choice.
Yes.
I'm just really thankful to you for this episode. Was there something else before? I don't want to cut you off too early. We still have some time.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe but also many think that, okay, from Helsinki, it's a long way to Lohja, but I would say like the 20 minutes more driving, so it's worth it. And also that you drive to Helsinki, especially if it's traffic, so it's going to take as long time as to drive to Lohja. And it's a difference. Mm-hmm. Even though there can be the midwives like me who have worked in both places, I would do it the same way.
Yeah.
But anyway, the setting has a massive impact.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Good.
Good.
Well, thank you for coming
thank
on
you.
And sharing your perspective, your opinion, your thoughts, your experience. I think this is really valuable information and topic. So, I thank you.
Thank you.
And for your work.
Thank you. Thank you for your work.
All right. Well, have a wonderful day. See you.
You too.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode and welcome back next week. Just before you go, I want to ask you a question. Do you want postpartum support from people around you but struggle with asking for help? Do you feel awkward to have this kind of conversation? Are you not really sure what to say? I've got you covered, and I've created just the guide for you. It's a word-for-word script that will help you feel confident to have this hard conversation. You will also receive the three crucial elements for a request for help, which will turn it from a nice idea into a reality. Until now, this script has been used only by my clients, and this will be the first time that it is offered for free. It's your chance to receive a great tool which has guided many of my clients in overcoming their fear of asking for help and allowed them to build their village. Do you want the guide that will help you build yours? You can download it now by visiting motherstransition.com. Thank you for tuning in to the Birthing in Finland podcast. To get the show notes for this episode, go to doulacollective.fi/birthing in Finland. If you enjoyed the episode, go ahead and share this with someone who you think needs to hear it. A friend, a colleague, a neighbor. Help us get the word out so that more families can start enjoying these conversations. See you next time when I introduce you to another amazing person supporting families just like yours.